203. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children, gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and gracious to receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Take the insert for the third Sunday after Pentecost and chant the intro.
Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly.
Thank you. also with you.
Let us pray. Lord of all power and might, author and giver of all good things, graft into our hearts the love of your name, and nourish us with all goodness, that we may love and serve our neighbor. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Pentecost is from 1 Kings chapter 19. Behold, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenants, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away.' And the Lord said to him, 'Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yes, I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was the 12th. Elijah passed by him, and cast his cloak upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant responsibly Psalm 16 by whole verse.
Preserve me, O God. For in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, "You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you."
for the saints in the land. They are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Chosen portion and my cup, you hold my lot. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. My flesh also dwells secure.
Stand for the Alleluia and verse.
Luke, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him, who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him, because his face was set towards Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. And they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess together the Nicene Creed, page 206.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. Now I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 688.
Thank you.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Today, Jesus explains what it means to put our hand to the plow and not look backward, but always look forward. Farmers and ranchers across our country know all about plowing a field. City folks do it with a rototiller. Whether it's horse-drawn like our grandparents or pulled by a tractor or a single blade that you push through your garden, everyone knows you have to hold tightly to the plow, look straight ahead if you want a straight furrow. As soon as you look back, it becomes crooked and gets off course. This is the picture before us from our Lord Jesus. Putting our hand to the plow, looking forward, not backward. Jesus resolutely went to Jerusalem to be crucified, set his face to go forward. We follow him, and we do not look back. So if we're going to put our hands to the plow, first we'll ask, why was Jesus headed to Jerusalem to be crucified? Secondly, how is it that Jesus now calls us to follow him? And thirdly, how does Jesus enable us to be fit for service in the kingdom, to take up that plow? If we're going to put our hands to the plow, first we must ask this question. Why was Jesus headed to Jerusalem to be crucified? The days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, and he set his face to go to Jerusalem. The days drew near. He was getting closer and closer to Holy Week, beginning with Palm Sunday. The days were coming near. He was going up to Jerusalem, the holy city. He was about to be taken up. That phrase describes everything that was involved in being taken up. He went there to suffer. He was taken up upon the cross. He was buried and came up out of the tomb in his resurrection. And he ascended and turn to the right hand of God. This is the whole process for our salvation, of being taken up. But it starts at Jerusalem. He sets his face towards Jerusalem. You can see someone out walking when they have their face set in one direction. They're going that way, not that way. You see their face, and they're walking and striding, going that way. They're looking at something, and they're going directly towards it. Jesus is giving them an object lesson. He faces in the direction of Jerusalem, and he starts walking. He's heading his face towards Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the holy city, the place of the final sacrifice. For centuries, Jewish priests had been offering up the lambs, sprinkling the blood over the people, and sacrificing them on the altar. Now the final sacrifice has come. The shepherd will become the lamb. The priest will become the sacrifice. Christ will be crucified for sinners, and the righteous one would die for those who were sinners. He sets his place, his face, for his final sacrifice. Now he sends his messengers ahead, the apostles and the disciples. They had to go through Samaria. Galilee was up north where the Sea of Galilee was and where Jesus was raised in Nazareth. Jerusalem was down in Judea in the south. To get there, you have to go through Samaria. Now the Samaritans, I mean, they're good people, but they were looked down upon by the Jews as being heretics. They were half Gentile, half Jewish in their intermarriage. They only accepted the first five books of the Old Testament, the books of Moses, and they rejected all the prophets. They set up their own temple at Mount Gerizim. So for the Jews, they had apostatized from the true faith of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so the Samaritans and the Jews had nothing to do with one another. They avoided one another at all costs. So now Jesus has to walk right through Samaria, and when they see that Jesus is not stopping in Samaria, he's headed to Jerusalem, well, they would not receive him. They opposed him. He was walking through their village to go to Jerusalem, and they were against that. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were called the sons of thunder. Everywhere they went, they're saying, Lord, call lightning and fire down and burn all these people up. And then the next time, send someone to destroy all these people. Jesus rebuked them. Enough. The time of judgment is coming at the last day when all accounts will be settled. Jesus is not coming to judge, he's coming to save. And indeed, if you look at the book of Acts, many of the early Christians were Samaritans. My goodness, one of the most beautiful parables of our Lord is the story of the Good Samaritan. So Jesus will be crucified for these people as well. As the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Samaritans. Time had not come. So he rebukes them. The Lord Jesus Christ was heading to the cross into Jerusalem to die even for his enemies. For the Samaritans, the Jews, for you and me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The cross would face him at Jerusalem. For just right outside the Temple Mount, where people were burned or where people were crucified, there Christ was nailed to the cross for our justification. What the Bible indicates is that when he was crucified, our curse was placed upon him. So his blessing is now placed upon us. He took our place. That's what we mean. He was our substitute. He went to the cross with all of our sins. He comes out of the tomb and gives us his righteousness. This is what it means to be justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This is why he set his face for the cross and for Jerusalem and put his hand to the plow. He did not look back. Secondly, if we're going to put our hand to the plow, we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean that Jesus calls us to follow him? Jesus continues, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Maybe you have a fox run around your neighborhood like we do. And they find a hole somewhere and they live there. Maybe you have a vine or a tree and the birds are nesting there. But Jesus, in his state of humiliation, says the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He went from town to town, received food where he could, slept outside. In a state of humiliation, the Son of Man is now calling us to follow him. Our Lord Jesus Christ came not to be served, but to serve. And he indicates there are no excuses for not following him. One man says, well, I can't follow you. I need to go bury my father. Another one says, I can't follow you. I need to say farewell to those who are at home. By looking backward at the ways of the world, they were not willing to pay the price to follow Jesus, to be a fisher of men, to be a disciple of Christ, to take up the plow. The disciples who did believe in Jesus recognized that this man, however, was the Son of Man. Jesus may be walking in humility, but he's called the Son of Man, which in the book of Daniel is the glorious King coming in the clouds in the last day. The Son of Man, the Son of God, Christ Jesus, is rightly called Lord. Yahweh, he said, proclaim the kingdom of God and follow Christ wherever he leads. Many people are still looking for the kingdom of God. They look in philosophy. They look inside themselves. They look in the stuff of this world. Where the king is, that's where the kingdom is. Where Jesus is where the kingdom is. And Jesus is where his word is proclaimed, and we are baptized in water and word, and receive his body and blood at this altar. That's where Jesus is. He locates himself in these ordinary means, connected to his word, and calls us now to follow him. Put your hand to the plow. That is, look straight ahead and go to work. When you see someone putting their hand to the plow, they're doing something. They're working. They're breaking up the ground so plants can be planted and a harvest can come. We are doing things as Christians. We put our hand to the plow as disciples. The life of discipleship is called the life of Christian vocation. Vocation and calling is every aspect of your life. That doesn't mean everyone has to become a pastor or teacher or evangelist or missionary. Some people are called to be pastors, teachers, and missionaries. But every single one of you has a vocation and calling as a disciple of Christ. You're a son or a daughter. You're a husband and a wife. You're a father, mother, grandparents. You're an employer, an employee. You live in a neighborhood. You have all kinds of vocations in your life. It's within those vocations that you are called to follow him and be a disciple of Christ. So each day when you get outside and greet the next door neighbor, or when you go to work, or you talk to the person at the gas station, wherever it is, you are the light of Christ to that person. You show that you're different than the world in loving other people instead of being mean, listening to, instead of just talking all the time, being gentle with people instead of being harsh, and through your vocation and calling, you are following Jesus. You become a light to others. We put our hand to the plow and follow Christ who was crucified in Jerusalem. We heed the call in our daily life to follow him. And then thirdly, if we're going to put our hand to the plow, he makes us fit for service in the kingdom of God. St. Paul says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Everybody wants to be free. The freedom Jesus talks about and Paul proclaims is freedom from sin, death, and hell. Through Christ's ministry and his sacrificial calling of us, we are not afraid of sin because Christ is our righteousness. We are not afraid of death because Christ is our life. We are not afraid of hell because Christ is our heaven in person. But this walking, being made fit for service in the kingdom of God, is a difficult road. Why? Because as St. Paul says, every day we have the battle between the old Adam and the new man. Old Adam, under the law, because of our original parents, Adam and Eve, we are born with the original sin, inherited from them. It's called the works of the flesh. But, as baptized Christians, we walk by the Spirit. We are new man in Christ, living under grace, clothed in Jesus' righteousness. Every day, you and I fight this battle between the flesh and the Spirit and the flesh, the old Adam and the new man and the old Adam. The law severely condemns the works of the flesh. Indeed, as he lists these horrific things of sexual immorality and impurity and sensuality and idolatry and strife and jealousy and anger and dissensions and divisions and envy and drunkenness and orgies, he warns people who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is pure law. Those people who will not repent of these things will not inherit the kingdom of God and face damnation, eternal separation from God in hell. That is what Paul is saying. But he also says, We are new man in Christ. We walk by the Spirit. We are not under law. We are under grace. You're familiar with the beautiful fruit of the Spirit, being new man in Christ. There's 9 of them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. If you live in the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. This is what's called the sanctified life. A good tree bears good fruit. You are a good tree clothed in Christ's righteousness, and now, like a good, healthy pear or peach tree, which bears fruit in the summer, you now bear good fruit, as evidenced with love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. You may be the only person on any given day who was kind to a person who's having a terrible day, and you're the one person that was kind to them. They will remember that. Being a Christian, being fit for the service in the kingdom of God, we wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm a baptized Christian. Help me drown the old Adam today and help the new man can come forth living in righteousness and purity before you. So in conclusion, my friends, since we have been baptized and taught, since we have heard the word of absolution and are about to come to Holy Communion to receive Christ's body and blood, we do put our hand to the plow. We do look forward and stop looking backward. We belong to Christ, not the world. We will crucify the sinful nature and we will live in the fruit of the Spirit. For 121 years, since 1901, on this church corner, believers at Trinity Lutheran Church have proclaimed this gospel I'm proclaiming to you. The theme for our congregation is one family in our church, childcare, and campus ministry. We thank all of those who are serving and have served this last year in the church council and the boards of the church, all of you who will continue to serve, and all of you who will be newly elected. We thank all of you who serve in every capacity of this congregation, because this is the body of Christ, and we all have our part. Our Lord Jesus Christ then calls us to look forward to the work that lies ahead. There's work to be done. There's people who need to know the cross of Christ. And there's people that God will use you to bring Jesus to them. Let us heed the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and stop looking behind and put our hands to the plow. Always looking forward at the face of Christ and the life to come. God grant that we put our hands faithfully to the plow. In Jesus, amen. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Before the prayers of the day, we rededicate these beautiful stained glass windows. These windows have been here since the 1940s, since World War II. They were damaged by the hailstorm and have been completely rebuilt and renovated. We thank all of you who donated towards that. And the blessing of sacred art that enables, helps our worship in art and music, we do at this time. Beloved in the Lord, in his great love, the eternal God has taken on human flesh, joined himself to his own creation. Heaven and earth are filled with his glory. He uses all things of this world, art, painting, and sculpture, and music, to bring us his blessing. He has made everything beautiful in its time, so that we may behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his holy temple. It is fitting, then, that we rededicate these renovated windows, sanctified by word and prayer for use in the Lord's house. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your Son is the express image of your glory, so that when we behold him, we contemplate your unending mercy. Bless and sanctify these renovated stained glass windows in our sanctuary, which are offered in honor of your only begotten Son, Grant that all who behold them, and by your grace hear your word, be strengthened in true faith and worship with a steadfast heart. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Rededicate these windows to the glory of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Stand for the prayer of the church. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. God of our salvation, when your Son set his face to go to Jerusalem on the cross, his zeal would not be deterred. Grant us to pray with the same fervor and boldness, trusting that you hear us for the sake of the Son of Man. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of the church, you give pastors, teachers, church workers, laymen, to proclaim your steadfast love, to announce freedom in Christ through the cross of Christ, and bless their faithful work to the glory of your name. Continue to bless Trinity Lutheran Church as we proclaim the gospel in our community. Bless Rachel Gross as she goes and serves the Lord in another place, bringing music to the glory of God. And bless John and Jen Wolf as they serve as missionaries for the Lutheran Church in Kenya, Africa. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of compassion, you established the family to be a place of protection and growth. Grant that our homes will proclaim the kingdom of God, parents and children, and foster within us the fruit of the Spirit. This week, bless those who celebrate their birthdays: Kay Coffey, Robert Brookner, Joel Anderson, Pat Orkies, Joanne McGuire, Ken Orkies, Donna Goodwin, Susie Ramsey, Leroy Hartman, Jennifer Barefoot, and Aspen Sepulveda. Also bless those who celebrate their anniversaries: David and Deborah Fritzy, Leif and Deborah Stratlowen, Kurt and Dolores Schweiger, Chuck and Vicky Moth. Grant, O Lord, that we can continue to protect the unborn children in the womb and protect all life from conception until old age in the family of God. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of power and might, you created all the kingdoms of this world. Give wisdom to our president, governor, legislature, and magistrates. Direct them to punish evildoers, to reward the righteous, and strive for peace. Grant that we may live quiet and peaceful lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask that you bring peace and end to the war in Ukraine and be with the people in the midst of their suffering. We ask that you continue to defend our freedoms through the military, Courtney Tate, Danny Green, Ricardo Bataga, Mike Gobble, Charles Gaither, Emily Shelton, and Alex Laffin, as they defend our freedoms. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of refuge, you draw near to all who trust in you. Hear our petitions for healing, strength, and comfort for Don Dorinsky, Gene Faulkner, Steve Ament, and Grace Raleigh, Scotty Taptoe, Raymond Sendelbach, Melody Lechtenberg, and Ginny Brinketter, Claire Jones, Ken Christner, Joe Waller, and Candy Darmody. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of holiness, we thank you for the mercy that you show to us and the fruit of the Spirit and the life that you give all. Continue to be with the family of Greg Wells at the death of his mother, Darlene Niedrich, the family of Kathy Nerez at the death of her stepfather, Tom James, and be with all who've lost loved ones, knowing that we have the sure hope of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commit all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
We ask at this time that you fill out the ritual of friendship forms found at the end of the pew, passing them to the person next to you. You may place them in the baskets in the narthex as you leave. You may be seated for the offering.
Service of the Sacrament, page 208, we stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love, shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, and laid on him our sin, giving him unto death, that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessing, the forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name, as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you, that your faith, body, and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Thank you.
life, our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Depart in peace.
Acts 2:11. We stand to sing. Shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.